Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for first loving us, Lord, when we were unlovable. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. I'm like Brother Baggett. I'm glad I serve the Most High. You know, a lot of times, and we've all seen it, there'd be someone on the street corner with a sign saying, hungry. Well, I'm sure there's somebody that's hungrier. I'm sure that there's somebody that's the hungriest. I want to be the hungriest. I want to hunger and thirst after the Most High. Amen. I love Him this morning. I know you do too. Good to be in Sunday school. And I want to teach just a little bit this morning. Try to help us, encourage us just a little bit. I know we have a lot of activity after church, and we don't plan on being too long. I've probably told you before, my grandfather was a unique fella. And when a long-winded preacher would come along and actually talk more than he had to say, my grandpa would tell him, he said, even a washing machine has a spin cycle. It knows when to stop. So we're not going to be too long. We want to say what we want to say and be done. But if you would like to stand, we'll read. I got several scriptures to read. We'll read one and you can be seated. Going to the book of Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. I feel a spider web on me somewhere. The web's fine, just don't want the spider. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. God bless you. You may be seated. Continuing on, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides of the post and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with appurtenance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I want to teach just a little bit this morning about the seven blessings of the blood. In this scriptures we just read, there are seven things that I want to bring out that were mentioned in this reading. And I tell you, there's something special about the blood. If you read about in the Old Testament, the Levitical laws, even the dietary laws and stuff like that concerning the blood was considered precious. And you drain the blood when you sacrifice just right, because God told him, he said, the life is in the blood. And I don't have a medical background by any stretch of the imagination, but I do know there's a lot of things you can live with artificially and a lot of things you can live without. But far as I know, there's no substitute for blood. They can cleanse it. They can give you a match. They can transfuse it. But without it, you're not going to make it. There's something precious about the blood. Going back to our text, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2, "And this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." In the Hebrew language, that month is Abib. It's Nisan was the Babylonian name given to the first month. It corresponds to our late March and April, but that is the first month of the year for the Jew. And basically what he was telling them here is this is going to be a new beginning. It's going to be a new start. I'm fixing to take you out of this land of Egypt, and we're fixing to start over. After 400 plus years of slavery, we are going to begin anew. And a lot of times, I speak for myself, I've made a lot of New Year's resolutions. Haven't kept too many of them. You know, we always promise, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do better, I'm going to take better care of myself, I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm going to try to get things done. You know how it is. You just always make these, you know, right after the first of the year, I'm going to do such and such. First thing you know, it's in the spring. Well, I tell you, soon as summer comes, I'm fixing to take care of this. And we keep putting off. But I tell you, we need a fresh start. And I don't want to be guilty in my spiritual walk with God like I am making New Year's resolutions. If I tell the Lord I'm going to do it, I won't do it. I tell you, because he's faithful. What he promises, he's going to deliver. Amen, no doubt about it. And for 40 years, the Israelites, as they wandered after they got out of Egypt, they would say, next year at Passover in Canaan. And even today, if you read about the Passover Seder that they still observe, the Jews still observe, they set a plate and all the silverware and everything anticipating the coming of the Messiah. And when he doesn't show, they say, next year in Jerusalem. They're still looking for that new start. I'm glad I've got a new start. I'm glad the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to my heart and gave me a new start. And we need to remember that. Psalms chapter 5, verse 3. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." I tell you, the secret, or one secret to a good relationship with Jesus Christ, is to pray earnestly to him every morning. I'm not saying it has to be 30 minutes, an hour, whatever. If you just pray just a little while and let God start your day, amen, it will give you a fresh start. I tell you, in the morning seem like maybe our minds are maybe a little bit clear from a good night's rest. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes we have restless nights, and they may not be. But for the most part, hopefully our minds are free and clear of the day's problem before we get started. And we need to commit our whole day to God with prayer. We need to tell God, you take over this day in my life, and let me start fresh today. And we need to have a new and a fresh start every morning beginning with prayer. Psalms chapter 59, verse 16. "But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble." Verse 17. "Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. We not only need to pray, it wouldn't hurt to do a little singing in the morning. The Bible says make a joyful noise. It didn't say a single word about being on key, timing, or anything else. Just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So I admonish myself and you, let's start our day with prayer. Let's start fresh. Let's have a new beginning every day when we get up with a prayer and a song. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. That's why his mercies, by his mercies, were not consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I tell you, Jeremiah, if you read him in his writings in the book of Lamentation, Jeremiah knew about God's faithfulness. I tell you, he did. God promised punishment. Would follow disobedience, and it did. And he also promised restoration and blessings, and he would provide that as long as they would do their part. And Jeremiah knew that God would keep his promise, but I tell you, we must keep our every day to talk to God and start fresh every day. So, in this living under the blood, the blessing under the blood, there is a new beginning and a fresh start. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, back to our text. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th month of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. The Hebrew people clearly understood that to be spared from death, that an innocent life had to be sacrificed in their place. And if you think about it, in almost every case that I can think of, in order for something to live, something has to die. I don't care if it's a purple-hulled pea vine. In order for me to live, to partake of the goodness and the blessings of God, to eat the peas, the pea vine has got to die sooner or later. It's got to give it up. So they knew that that lamb being slain was going to be their salvation. And he told them, take every man, take a lamb. A blessing under the blood of Jesus Christ is number two, the people of God unite. And I tell you, there's something wonderful and powerful about unity in a body of believers. And I know if we get our eyes on the lamb, we'll get our eyes off the world and all our petty problems. I tell you, we need to focus our eyes on the lamb. And during the year, I know people disappoint us and we get discouraged, and sometimes we let our devotion slip and slide, and we're not as diligent about that as we should be. But I tell you, when we get our eyes on the lamb, we unite together. And we need to be focused on the lamb. And our problems disappear when we share the lamb. Exodus chapter 12, verse 4, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. I tell you what the lamb will do. The lamb will cause you to look out for your neighbor. And those that may not have a lamb, it will cause you to share what you have. I tell you, we need to lose ourselves in others sometimes. Jesus Christ told the scripture in the Bible talks about greater love hath no man than he would lay down his life for his brother. I'm going to tell you something. Laying down your agenda and your life for your brother means something to Jesus Christ. I tell you, it means something to have to be concerned about your neighbor and to be united. But the people of God unite with the Lamb. Number three, the family unites under the blood. Exodus chapter 12, verse 6, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The family unites under the blood. For 4 days, this lamb was kept in the house. And I don't know how many of y'all ever raised sheep. I never did raise sheep, but as you know, most every baby animal is cute, even a baby possum. But there's something about a little lamb. And while we were able to go to Israel, went to Bethlehem, and I'm telling you, we didn't unload off that bus, and here comes a little shepherd boy with his sheep. And he had these little old bitty lambs, just as cute as they could be. And you could take your picture with them. You could hold this lamb and take a picture. And, of course, he's wanting a few shekels, if you know what I mean. But you can get close to those things. You can get close to that lamb, keeping it in your house. And everybody's happy. And then your father calls the family together to explain the Passover and the 400 years of slavery. And the next thing he does, he kills the lamb. And sorrow grips the house. Just like Jesus Christ came on the scene. He taught them. He led them 3.5 years and then was crucified. But I tell you what it does. The family will unite under the blood. I tell you, what does Calvary mean to you? Does Calvary still move you when you think about his death on the cross and the shedding of his blood? I tell you, it will bring a congregation together. The congregation will unite under the blood. I tell you, heaven emptied itself of its greatest treasure to die for our sins, my sins, your sins. And I tell you, it behooves us to see that our children know and understand the price that was paid by the Lamb of God in his shed blood. I'm telling you, it doesn't take but one generation lost to lose it. You mark my word, you go back to somebody whose family has strayed away and you let a generation pass and another generation come on. First thing you know, you begin to ask them about it. I said, well, I don't really know. Seems like I might have had a great-grandmother or grandmother that went to church or something. I'm telling you something. Don't let them forget about the blood of Jesus Christ and what it means. Amen. The fourth thing, salvation comes through the Lamb. Exodus chapter 12, verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. I tell you, the blood was all that stood between life and death that night, and it's the same thing today. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that stands between you and your heavenly home, or you and death. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And through the Old Testament, we all know how the sin offer was offered by the priest. And he would slay the lamb and he would offer it up and the sins would be rolled ahead for another year. But I'm so thankful one day out in the wilderness, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. It wasn't just an individual that presented his lamb to the priest and he would hold it up and he would inspect it for spot or for blemish. And it was the very words that the priest used. He would say, behold the lamb, and it would take away the sins of those people. But John the Baptist said, it's going to be shed blood that's going to take away the sins of this entire world. Salvation comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, he saw mercy and grace walking toward the crowd that day. Amen. Thank God for the blood. And if you think about John, what he said, his father, Zacharias, was of the priestly order. John was qualified to say that. Just anybody couldn't take the lamb and inspect it and slay the lamb and offer the blood. But John, he was qualified to say, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Matthew 26 and 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. John 6 and 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I tell you, you go to talking about eating flesh and drinking blood, it was probably a rather shock to the disciples. Something they really didn't understand. It just really sounded cannibalistic to them. And the thought of it was probably very repulsive to them. And also to the religious leaders. It was against the law. You couldn't even do that. But Jesus was not talking literally. And they had to understand, and we understand. He was saying, my life, the life that I have, has become yours or needs to become your own life. And what I have, you need to partake of it. And he's telling them to eat the flesh and drink the blood. My life has to become your own. But they had to be willing to partake of it, to be his disciples and obtain eternal life. Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2 and 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9 and 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9 and 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. There is salvation in the blood of the Lamb. And Moses and Aaron made them understand the blood better go on the doorpost. It better go above the doorpost on either side, but not on the floor. You don't trample on the blood of Jesus Christ. But salvation is going to be in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Revelation 7 and 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Verse 14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I told you the other day about that little experiment in school. When you look at red through red, it's white. Amen. When the blood covers it, the sins are gone. Isaiah 1 and 8 or 1 and 18, whatever, the first chapter of Isaiah talks about, come let us reason together. Even though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Even though they're red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If you read and study that, that dye was taken from a worm, and it was purple. And when you dyed it, that was it. You couldn't get that stuff out. And that's what Isaiah is saying. Even though it has been dyed or dyed twice, the blood of Jesus Christ can take away your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ can purify you and make you whole. Amen. The fifth thing, all of the lamb must be consumed. Exodus 12 and 8, and they shall eat the flesh at that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. They had to roast the lamb. They didn't want it boiled in water or sodden. They had to partake of the unleavened bread, and that was because they didn't have time to wait for the bread to rise. So they ate unleavened bread, and they ate the bitter herbs. The bitter herbs were to signify the slavery, the hardship of the slavery, to remind them that you're fixing to leave this land. These bitter herbs that you're eating are going to remind you where you came from. But they roasted the lamb, and even today, a lot of the old Hasidic Jews and those Orthodox Jews, they don't boil meat in the mother's milk. The Bible talks about those dietary laws. They don't do that. As a matter of fact, when we got so hungry for a hamburger over there, we didn't know what to do. And they have a McDonald's over there. Of course, the McDonald's over there, to me, is not that much better than a McDonald's burger over here. But anyway, we were hungry for a hamburger. You couldn't get cheese on a hamburger. They still don't mix dairy products with meat products. I mean, they strictly adhere to those old laws. But they didn't want them boiling that stuff. You roast that thing, and you eat it, and you be ready to go. Amen. The whole lamb must be consumed, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until morning you shall burn with fire. Eat them not of it raw, sodden it all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. The pertinence is simply the heart, the liver, and the kidneys. They did not partake of the digestive tract. But he told them to eat of it all. And what's left, burn it with fire. Don't have anything remain. I tell you, partaking of God is partaking of the whole thing. It's not a buffet. It's not a cafeteria plan. When it's put before you, this word of God, it takes the whole thing. Amen. Amen. We don't water down the lamb. The lamb must be roasted with fire. We got to have the pure word of God, because I'm telling you, when you go through the fire, the lamb is close by. Amen. He is not going to hang you out to dry. Number 6, under the blood, there is strength for the journey. Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Eating the Passover while wearing their traveling clothes, to me, was simply a sign of their faith. Although they were not free, they had not been delivered yet. They were to prepare themselves because God said, I am going to deliver you out of this land of Egypt. And I'm telling you, preparing ourselves for the fulfillment of God's scriptural promises, however unlikely it may seem, it demonstrates our faith. A lot of times, you know, we talk about standing on the promises of God, and we do that, and you don't see results in your life like you would like to see it. Keep standing. Keep your staff in your hand. Gird up your loins. Have yourself ready to travel. Have your shoes on your feet, and just hang on, because I'm telling you, there is strength for the journey under the blood. Amen. The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. We know that in the Lord's Prayer when he was teaching them to pray. We need to be ready daily. The scripture says, I think it's the first chapter of Acts, verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Amen. You shall receive the Holy Ghost. He said he'd give them power and he'd help them to be witnesses. I know seem like a lot of people try to get that in reverse order, want to be a witness and seeking power without being filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, he said in Luke chapter 24, you go and tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Amen. I know, and I'm not talking about anybody, but it's all a part of being saved and having salvation is repenting of your sins. But I'm telling you, the endowment of power is what helps you keep this thing. It helps you turn the other cheek. It helps you to give your coat when you've already given your other garment. Amen. There is strength for the journey in the blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, I'm glad this world is temporary. I'm glad it's not my home. There's a better place. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. But I tell you what, to make it to my home, I got to have strength for the journey. How do I do that? By living under the blood, the blessing of the blood. And I tell you, witnesses is not showing what you can do for God. It's showing what God has done for you. Amen. When I witness to somebody, I want to say, well, let me tell you what I've... No, it ain't about me. It's about Jesus Christ and what he has done in my life that I can witness about. And the last thing, we're closing, protection from judgment. Exodus 12 and 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. That word token is the word auth in the Hebrew language, and it simply means several things: a signal, a flag, a beacon, a monument, an omen, a mark, a miracle, a token. I tell you, it's your sign that I will pass over you. And I will not execute judgment upon you like I am fixing to do this land of Egypt and against all of their gods. If you read much about Egypt, you know much about it. Honey, they had a god for everything. The moon god, the sun god, the Nile River god, god of all the animals. And they just worshiped all kind of things. God says, I'm fixing to take care of that. I am fixing to pass over you if the blood is on the doorposts and on the lintels. And when I execute judgment, I will protect you. There is protection from judgment under the blood. Why do you think a lot of times we approach situations, we plead the blood of Jesus? Anybody ever done that? Absolutely I have. I left my home during Rita, and I took my anointing oil, and I anointed my house, and I said, Lord, let the blood cover this house. And I didn't have one tree fell, not one. Had one in the back of my head. It ain't there no more. Cheryl and them saw yesterday. I didn't cut that dude down. God gave me enough sense. He let it stand one time. You better have sense enough to take it down in case something else happened. But anyway, he spared me. And I tell you, there is protection from judgment under the blood.
Revelation 7:14 again. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. He's going to execute judgment against Satan. He's going to put him in his place. He's already prepared a place for him. In verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ is the world's greatest purifier. It will remove the stain of sin. It will give you a new beginning. It will help you to unite. It will help the families unite. It will help you obtain salvation. And we must consume the entire Word of God and the Lamb. And we have strength for the journey. And we have protection from judgment. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers it all, folks. I'm telling you, it's a marvelous thing to be born into this world, born into sin and shaping in iniquity, the Bible says. But yet I know, when I become the age of accountability, I know and understand that the blood was shed for me and my salvation. My sins were remitted at Calvary. And all I have to do is take the steps to accept that and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Aren't you glad of that this morning? Amen. God bless you this morning. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back for our worship service.